The reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. The beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was the evening, and there was the morning, the first day.
I want to look this morning about beginnings. We have a fantastic beginning amongst us here this morning in baby Jacob, who of course is Robert and Lucy. I've gone into the back there with him. But it reminds us all that that's where we all started off in life. That was the beginning we all came from. We were born into the world. And the big question for all of us, of course, is what is it really all about? And whether we're devout Christian believers, or we're Muslim believers, or we're Hindu believers, or we're total atheists or agnostics, whatever it might be, we all sometime in our life must ponder that question. What's it all about? And those who have a firm faith and belief that there is nothing out there at all, because believe me, that takes faith, we'll come to a conclusion straight away. Is that we live after we're born, and then we die, and there's nothing else. And the whole cosmos and this beautiful planet that we live on, which they recognize as being extraordinary, and the life that walks upon it in every shape and form is extraordinary in itself, is all brought together simply by chance. And sometime in the future, it will all come to an end. And life, as we know it no more. There'll be no recollection of it. And there'll be nothing in the universe to appreciate it. And I find that deeply sad and deeply fearful if that was ever to be the case. But there are many other religions in the world that claim to acknowledge there is something out there that's brought all this together. Whether you're a New Age spiritualist or seeking transcendence with God, looking for reincarnation, you realize there's a creator, designer that's out there. Or whether you're part of the world religions and faiths that acknowledge that there is a God out there, whether in a polytheistic sense, where there's many gods, or a monotheistic sense, there's just one God. Wherever it is, you're trying to seek a path and search those reasons and questions that why there is life. Why did God create the world? Why did God bring life? Why did God make us? And as Christians, we ought to or have asked and are still seeking out the reasons of why God did all this. But Genesis has a wonderful way in the holy book of God to help us build our understanding through evidence, through realities of who God is. And it takes us right back, it says, to the beginning. And that's a Trivial Pursuit question, that. What are the first three words of the Bible? Of course, we all know it, don't we? In the beginning. And that's where we start from, because that's where life, all the existence of life we've ever known, and what will happen in the years to come, all stems back from the beginning. And it takes us back to a time where there's no science, understanding of the world like we know it today. So we've got to understand it in the concepts and the context of Scripture in Genesis, in which their science for us today was their mythologies. So everybody had understanding in some form or shape that there was some deity out there that brought things together. So today we understand it much more clearer in the context of the Holy Scripture we have today, in all its fullness and completeness, aligned with and in compatibility and in harmony with what science teaches us every day about life as well, and all its extraordinariness, in which all the scientists of the world can't explain half of what's going on. We're scraping the surface of life and scraping even less what's going on in the universe. And yet, from the beginnings of all of it, it says, in the beginning, God created. And for it raises up three questions for me. God created. First of all, who is God? Secondly, what did he create? And thirdly, why did he create it? And if we haven't got those answers, are we any better off than other world religions understanding God? Are we any better off than the total atheist who believes in nothing if we don't really know who God is? And we need to understand who God is, because after all, that's who we worship. That's who we give our life to. That, for me, is who we reason with about what life is all about. And the thing about God is that he's not a human being. And we can't make him a human being. So you can't understand him as being a human being. And therefore, when we talk about God being three persons or three natures of God, but only being one God, we can understand it in spiritual matters and in spiritual terms, because God is spirit, it says in John's Gospel. God is spirit. And therefore, God can be what he looks like and exist or subsist within those three understandings of his nature, which, of course, God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Spirit. That's who God is, and that's how we understand him. The Father loved the world and created all things, it says in the Psalms. But the world, as we know, drifted away. So it seems to me the reason why God has made us is purely out of love and to live in a relationship with him, so that he might bless us. But we could always ask the question, why? Why did he do that? And maybe some things in life and in our faith we will never fully understand until we get to the end of our journey. Because every great story, every great film, every great poem, whatever it is, has to start somewhere. It's got to start right in the beginning. And it will have some end. Otherwise, what's the point of watching the film or reading a book if there's no end to it? The last few pages are missing. The last few minutes of the film didn't happen. But as we're reading the story, or as we're watching the film, we actually start to form, as the pieces come together, an understanding of the story. But not only that, we start to then form reasons of where the story's taking us. And we even try and guess what the end might be, so we come to a conclusion. But every great story has a little twist, doesn't it, that catches us out, that makes us think differently about what we thought it was. And for me, that's the rest of the world. They haven't got an ending. They're trying to form conclusions and reasons, but they haven't got all the pieces. Well, we have. And Jesus makes that very, very clear, that if you want to know your Father in heaven, the best way, the only way, is to come through me, because I will show you. That doesn't say God doesn't love everybody in the whole world. He does do. And look at the world today. It's not what God had intended it to be. So when he says that, God then said, let there be light. And all that he made for the rest of those days of creation, or times of creation, that it was all good. It was all perfectly good. But the world today is not good. There are some miracles, like new life being born. There are some miracles and joys in which we see human interacting, responding to each other in the way that we should be doing. And there are some disasters and heartbreaks and real disturbing moments going on in the world today, as there always has been since we fell away from the grace of God. In France, in Syria, in Nigeria, in North Korea, to name a few places. And you could list a whole lot more of what's going on. And it all comes down to human suffering because of human neglect. And that's what God said we should be doing. So God speaks to us, as he did from the beginning of time, in his spiritual way. He said, or in other translations, he commanded, and it came into being. And so when Jesus said, Peter, come into being, into life, Peter's life started on an epic journey that was taken through all the quandaries and fascination of who he was, who he became when he was born into the world. But when he gave his life to Jesus, and Jesus came into his life, he had a new beginning. And the idea with God is that he doesn't want to keep on speaking to us. But he wants a two-way conversation that comes back at him as well. So we talk about hallelujah, let's praise the Lord. That's what part of that being is all about, the reason why we're here, to enter into a life with him, with a destiny of inheriting something even more amazing. And I can't tell you why. It just is. That's what God teaches us. But it keeps me searching. And that's why I think God doesn't give us the whole answer until the end, so that we don't come to our own conclusions and that's the end of the story. We no longer search him out. We don't have a hunger and thirst for him. But the fact we haven't got a conclusion, only that in our hope and our faith, is that we will get to the end with him. And we will inherit a new earth and a new heaven and a new earth, that we can ask him all the questions we want to then. But he wants to hear conversation now. He wants to hear your questions being brought to him now, because you've all got them, or you all should have them. And if you haven't, is it because you've stopped searching? Is it because you've made God and his story and his life come to an end right now? Is it because that you no longer believe? Is it because you doubt and you wrestle with the truths? All those things are fine. All those things are good. Because that's what brings us back into the presence of God, to ask him, are you real? Is this what it is? Am I getting there? Are a million miles away? And then he helps us. So the whole part from this little place in the world in Baxterton, right through to our nation, right through to all the countries, right through to all the cosmos and the whole celestial planes, is that God wants us to keep on speaking with him. So when God said, let there be light, that light is for us. And he asked them in that light to turn to God and say, okay, this is where I am. What should I do next? I want to praise you. I want to thank you. I want to bless you as you bless me. And the whole world can do that. That's when the Psalms say that the whole world, every single beast, every single life, every single tree and creature and human life, praise the Lord. But even the cosmos can praise the Lord as well. Do you ever think about the noise out in space? Have you ever listened to the universe? Now, the universe, as we know, it has no air. So noise can't travel. But scientists, in all their fantastic way of listening to the universe, have found that there are electromagnetic waves and pulses that come from distant planets and star systems and dwarf planets and all these things that are out there. And they've picked up through these waves the noise that the universe can make. So just for a minute, we're going to imagine that universe opened up before us. This is what the nave was built for. That's why it's shaped like that, or into a pointedness, to remind us of God's infinity, of his greatness, of the earth being above us in this area, above the common people, meeting together under his authority and under his greatness and his mightiness. And as you listen to this astonishing piece of the universe, for me, I'm reading a lot into this, of course, it's speaking out to God. It's singing praises to God. So let's just a minute listen to this universe singing praises to God. I don't know about you, that just blew me away. That's the sound of the universe. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but it's incredible. The thing is, of all got noisiness. We've all got a voice. We've all been created from that distant nebula to the nearest person sat next to you. We've all been made and are all part of this whole creation, all together. And the point of Jesus Christ is that he gives us a voice now. And a voice, because people are listening out there in the universe to try and hear it. If only they could hear the voice of God, which is a whole lot closer. And God is speaking to us in his spiritualness. And maybe when we meet God, it might sound something like that, because God is spirit. But it's through his Holy Spirit we can have that earthly and human encounter with him that takes us beyond nature into the supernature of God. But he gives us that voice then, so that others try and listen in to their reasons and questions what life is all about. That today we are the voice of God. So when someone sits next to us and says, what's it really all about? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Isn't the universe amazing? Isn't it astonishing that somebody can help somebody else just like that out of the goodness of their heart? As we listen to that, just as God said, we can say too, that in the beginning, God created all that. And I'm going to read a bit into this passage beyond what the scripture's saying. I think it really relates to us as we summarize everything that God has done. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. As we look at the world today, the earth is still formless. And it is still empty and in darkness because of the evilness. It's not formed in the image of Christ. And it's not full of love. But then he says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. When we were born again through the Spirit of God, not born of water, but born of the Spirit, but in the symbolism of water and baptism, now the hovering of the Spirit is over us and in us and all around us. And God said, let there be light. And of course, the light of the world is Jesus Christ. Doesn't it say in John's Gospel that in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God? So you've got the Father of creation who made the world. You've got Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who also made the world. For all things were made through him. Nothing was made that was not made through Jesus Christ. And it says there that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, waiting to make things. So there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit making the world. Not just making the world, but being part of the world. And not just being part of the world, but being in you and I. Then God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. We are the light of the world today. We are the goodness of the world today. We what make differences in the world, transform societies, transform situations, transform hatred into peace. We transform people's hostilities into love. That's what we do today, for you are the light, separated from the darkness. And God calls this light day. So every day of our lives, from this day forward, is a new day. It's a new beginning. And every day is a new story. It has a beginning and it has an end. How we live through that day is between you and God. And whether it's we are an atheist, or we have a different world of faith, whether we're Christians, we all begin our new day with God. Half the world just doesn't know it. The other half of the world thinks they do know God. But we, who are separated from the world, we have the truth in us. And that's the Holy Scripture of God. So as the universe sings out to God, as all creation sings out to God, then we too need to start a new journey today to make sure that we're always asking those questions. So when people ask us, who is God then? We know. What did he create? We know. Why did he create us? We know. But we haven't got all the answers. And we'll keep on searching, keep on walking, keep on loving together, and hope we find those answers until our journey ends and we depart on the new beginning with God at the end. Amen. We're going to play just another piece of video. In which Brian Dawkins, you might have heard him, he's a good Christian songwriter. He fathomed all this about the universe and stuff and said, you know, You don't have to look beyond the universe to see what God has done as he brings it all together. And so he looks at the earth itself and sees that even in this time of conflict and war and suffering and desperateness, the beauty of God, the goodness of God, is all around us and has always been there since the beginning of creation. So let's take in the words that's been maybe shared with us by the Spirit of God personally in your lives, and take in what's been shown for this next video clip, and just see if you can bring it all together and hopefully experience something of what God wants personally in your life.
Gazing at a bird in flight, soaring through the air, lying down beneath the stars, I feel your presence there.
That song finishes with, I believe. Do you believe that God put all this into place? When you look at the world today, although blemished since the fall of God, it still holds the beauty. It still holds God's intended purpose to live in such a beautiful world. And I just wonder, I don't always come from me at the front to try and encourage you in your faith, but sometimes it's great to come from you guys too. If you felt something from God that you want to share with us, a word just to encourage your brothers and sisters around you to keep on searching out, to keep on reasoning what it's all about, if you want to maybe offer a word or two. I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but it's good. The Spirit speaks to us all the time. We're not used to sharing those things with each other, and we need to get into the habit of that, because if it's God speaking to you, He might want to share that now with us to encourage me and to encourage each one of us. Does anybody feel anything? Anyone want to share? Anybody want to have a word? Thank you, Jean. Janet.
Yeah, God has spoken to me today with new beginnings. I've been through a very difficult time recently, and He's been with me all the way, and He's lifted my heart, and He's made me know that everything will be all right. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jenny. Anybody else got anything they want to share? It's okay if you don't. I'm not making you feel uncomfortable or not. It's fine. Just if you are burning something that you want to share with us. No, that's all right. That's okay. So as I come to the end of our service, I pray and hope that you will keep this to you and learn more about it, have the confidence enough to let it out then, so other people get to know God through your own realistic and authentic relationship with Him.